We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. Guys, it has been a hot minute since I've had a chance to upload an episode, as I have spent a large amount of time on the road. And I do apologise for that, for any regular listeners that I may have lost during the process of this. Hopefully you return for this newest episode. But I would like to start this episode by, of course, thanking you, the Ever-So Patient members of the Patreon. You've allowed me to make all the reckless jokes that I would like about whatever I would like and whatever I deem worthy of zeitgeisty type jokes about the news. I couldn't do it without you, so thank you for your time and thank you for your commitment and mostly thank you for your money. If you'd like to become a Patreon and support the bullshit arts, then feel free to join up on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/Matt Harvey Stuff. We have a few levels of membership on there that you can jump on, and feel free to give this a little bit of support. But of course, as always, I couldn't do this alone, and you couldn't do this alone. You couldn't support this much bullshit on your own. We need larger sponsors, and of course, I'd like to thank them now. This week's sponsor is the Winter Solstice. Now, you might think the Winter Solstice is a weird sponsor, and that it, as a section of a celestial cycle, has no real reason to be sponsoring a news podcast to ensure that people learn about its existence or to, you know, further the knowledge of its existence. But I will remind you, good listeners, that not one of you attended the Winter Solstice Under the Sea Good Time BYO Livestock and Barbecue Gathering and Pagan Sacrificial Ritual that just passed this last week. So shame on you for forgetting the solstice. And as such, fortune on me for gaining the solstice as a sponsor. You have taken for granted the shortest days of the year, thrown it to the side in favour of its warmer sibling, the summer solstice. But you have forgotten the joys that shortening of the days brings. No pressure to go out. An excuse to wrap yourself up in a blanket and tell people it's just too cold out and that you'd like to stay in. The threat of illness, which could keep you in the house, whether you're actually ill or not, and of course, the temptation of warm, homemade meals, all made even more possible than normal by the shortening of the days through the winter solstice. As somebody who just spent a few weeks in days of 23, sometimes 23 plus hours of sunshine, let me tell you, there is nothing on earth like a regular circadian rhythm, knowing that the day is coming to an end because the sun has moved in the sky, as you've been conditioned to believe that it does your entire life. For those who work outdoors, you know, being able to track the end of your workday just by knowing that the sun is moving across that big old sky of ours is somewhat of a blessing. These are the true good times, my friends. And that ritual we go through every year, daylight savings, where we stretch the sun-filled days out as long as possible out of some desperation to appear like we are saying la vie, I say none. Celebrate the shortening of the day in the winter. Enjoy the regularity of your circadian rhythm and the rest peacefully in the reassuring darkness that the shortest day of the year brings, the winter solstice, because you've earned it. And of course, we couldn't do any of this without my live shows. So for starters, a huge thanks to anybody who came out and managed to see me in all of the live shows that have passed since I've done an episode last. Sydney, San Diego, Reykjavik, I think especially Sydney. The election was happening and people still turned out. It was literally the day of the election and people still turned out for some comedy. So thank you for that. I really genuinely appreciate that. I was really worried that nobody was going to come. But I do have some upcoming shows that if you enjoyed the live shows, if you enjoy this podcast and you know anybody in these places, do send them my way. So I've got live shows in the Darwin Fringe from July 17th to the 20th at a little place called Top Floor Comedy. I'll be bringing my stand-up and storytelling show. I Got Bit by a Monkey once, which I'm quite looking forward to doing over in Darwin, before heading off to Edinburgh. Yes, the big one, Edinburgh, where I'll be bringing two shows. Yes, both of the shows that I've been currently touring, both Wage Against the Machine and I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, for the whole run from July 31st until August 24th. A massive 48 shows over the festival, and that's without doing any extra promotional shows, just to make sure that people show up to the shows that I already have. So it's going to be a huge month. I will get as many episodes out as I can before then, but please don't be surprised if we take a little break over the month of August. Until then, I will be the bearer of weird news. So let's get into the headlines. After failing to file complaints reports no later than 30 days after each quarter, Elon Musk's Starlink was issued a warning by the Australian Communications Watchdog. An ACMA spokesperson said, "Starlink's failure to submit the required complaints reports in a timely way hampered the ACMA in its role in monitoring whether Starlink is meeting its obligations towards consumers." And I just have to ask, ACMA, are you serious? Have you seen the way that he runs Twitter? Or the way that he ran Doge? Or even his own personal life? I guarantee you he is not meeting any obligations to anyone, ever, unless those are people who have asked him for some of his sperm. He cannot get that out fast enough to anybody who asks, or even people who don't ask. He will guarantee you'll get it within 30 hours, let alone 30 days. Britain's Parliament has voted to decriminalise abortion in England and Wales. This is, of course, in memory of Liz Truss, who listeners may remember publicly aborted her political career and the UK economy in only 7 weeks. Trump has unveiled his plans for an Israel-style Golden Dome missile defense shield over America, calling it very important for the success and even survival of the country. And here I honestly thought the only war that Trump was planning on starting was the war on America, because nobody is going to try and bomb America for tearing itself apart. They'll just let that regime have itself. So while I was away, something unfounded happened. The Liberal Party put a woman in charge. Yes, yeah, the party who has suppressed women from leadership roles due to being the party of merit has finally relented after being utterly decimated in the last election. Susan Ley has stepped into the role of LNP leadership, but certainly not to let people know that she was a diversity hire, and definitely not as a figurehead that lets female voters know that they still have a place in the future of this party and should absolutely, totally vote for them in the next election. This was definitely the right choice and not a move made out of desperation. And to ensure that everything was above board and that voters should absolutely vote for them out of confidence, and that things weren't changing, they weren't going woke or anything like that, she came out and she assured voters that as the first woman to lead the LNP, Ley will go out of her way to show that women can also mindlessly hate the poor and give tax cuts to the rich. So voters can rest assured that she understands what the party truly stands for. Scott Morrison received the country's highest honour for leading Australia through the COVID crisis, apparently. He has thanked the Australian people for their courage and resilience during the multiple crises that took place during his time in office, including the COVID pandemic, the Black Summer bushfires, and of course the biggest disaster of them all, the Morrison Prime Ministership. New media literacy lessons are being built with the aim to tackle crushing civics results. The classes will mostly revolve around showing kids Murdoch newspapers and Sky News and just repeating over and over again, "This is garbage! This is garbage!" I would love the classes to be more nuanced than that, but we've got to start somewhere. France's health minister has ignited controversy with an announcement that she wants to make it unlawful for under 3-year-olds to be put in front of the screen. And look, we all hate Baby Shark and Cocomelon, but only the French have what it takes to impose existential ennui onto children under 3. This is how you build a strong foundation for rebellion. The minister concluded that while the authorities could not send police into family homes to arrest parents who put their kids in front of screens, in a clear display of understanding of the fundamental nature of humans, she claimed that once the ban had become law, families would just automatically respect it. Yeah, you know the French. If there's one thing that they're known for, it is blind compliance to authority. Britain's first Marie Antoinette exhibition will feature a scent experience to recreate the smell of her French court. On the list of potential smells you can experience are a perfume favoured by the French Queen, flowers from the courtyard of Versailles, the smell of the working class as they prepare for revolution, a freshly constructed guillotine, there's nothing like fresh cut wood, and of course, cake, a chemical that scientists worry may have an impact on human reproduction has been found in rivers across the UK. The chemical is disturbingly common and is found in most family lounge rooms. It goes by the name Spiritus Fermenti, and you might know it best as Johnny Walker. Donald Trump's family business is launching a new Trump-branded phone service. The Trump Organization said it planned to sell a gold-colored, built-in-the-United-States smartphone for only $499. Whew. A mobile business might seem like an odd choice for Trump, but it perfectly reflects his presidency in that it is inconsistent, leaves people in danger when they most need help, cuts them off when communicating with the world, won't provide services in blue states, and will enthusiastically be defended by diehard Trump fans, no matter how much it fails them. Meta has unveiled plans to introduce adverts on WhatsApp, breaking a promise by the messaging app's co-founder never to do that. I know what you're thinking. A social media company breaking its promise to users to never include ads in a desperate attempt to increase its profits in an increasing decline of quality of service, breach of privacy, and eventually dilution of the product? Say it isn't so! Meta says its ads are built with privacy in mind and won't draw from your personal messages, calls, and statuses, but instead will limit ad targeting to elements like your city, country, language, personal messages, calls, and statuses. A new security system means passengers at Edinburgh Airport can now keep liquids and large electrical items in their bags. They will, however, have to strip completely naked and submit to a full body cavity search in order to pass security. But hey, at least they won't have to unpack their whole bag just to get a laptop out anymore. So, progress? 3 skulls from Japan that were given to Edinburgh University in 1913 have been returned to the indigenous community where they originated. The university then sent out a public statement saying, "See, it's not that hard now, is it, British Museum?" Disney has announced plans to open its 7th theme park in Abu Dhabi. They say that the park will be authentically Disney, and distinctly Emirati, with rides taking on slightly different names and themes than those regular visitors might know. So for example, the Haunted Mansion will be filled with the ghosts of workers who died to build it. It's a Small World will now be called It's a Small World, where you can't access your passport, and Snow White's Scary Adventure will just be about her expressing an opinion and serving a lengthy sentence in prison following an unfair trial on vague and broad charges, mostly around her being a woman. While Disney and the Petros that might seem like an odd matchup, they actually have more in common than you first think. So you see, Disney also works an underpaid workforce for ungodly hours out in the hot sun for the entertainment of tourists. They are willing to capitulate on the demands of tyrants for money, and the UAE has even got the same policy as Disney regarding LGBTQIA+ people, in that they might exist, but we certainly don't acknowledge them either. Moving on to the larger stories now, we are starting with Farcan News. That's right, Farcan News. A new study has shown that Australians swear less than some other nations. And you can read all about that in the prestigious journal of Get Fucked Cunt. What the fuck are you talking about, dickhead? It might not surprise listeners to learn that the study came from the University of Queensland, because of course it came from Queensland. Who else would have been studying how often people swear? They need to make sure that they remain above the national average. It's a pride thing, you know what I mean? Some states do pride parades, and Queensland does swearing pride. I suspect it's why they keep both Pauline Hanson and Bob Catter in power. With those two around, those numbers just, they raise themselves. Now, Australia, I know that we have what most of the world would consider a friendly, some might call it borderline reckless relationship with swearing, in particular the word cunt. For my international listeners, don't fear, that simply means good friend in Australian English. Got it? Nailed it. Thanks. Whereas for my Australian listeners, don't worry, do not fear. We aren't changing that much as a society, just hear me out. So the study actually examined more than 1.7 billion words of online content across 20 English-speaking countries, specifically looking for 597 vulgar words. And Australians apparently are swearing less online than other countries. Disappointing, I know. But researchers suspect that the nation is saving it for face-to-face interactions. Because that's the Australian way. We swear to your fucking face, cunts. The alcohol certainly helps with the face-to-face nature of our obscenity-driven dialogue, that's for sure. Martin Schweinbringer, the lead researcher from the University School of Languages and Culture, said Australians really see vulgarity, swearing, and slang as part of our culture. We're very invested in it. And I say, fuck yeah, champion. You're not shitting me. You're damn not shitting me. Fuck. How else do you express distaste for a politician? Here is a fellow citizen expressing himself to a local politician.
Tony Abbott faced some hostility of his own.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Dickhead.
Oh, really?
Now, I know nothing else about that man, but the fact is that he is holding up a proud Australian tradition. Isn't that right?
You from the media, tell the Prime Minister to go and get from Nelligan. We really enjoy doing this, head.
And people say that we don't have a constitutionally recognised right to freedom of speech. Well, maybe not completely, but we certainly have a right to freedom of telling someone to get fucked. Even though Australians hold a broad international reputation for swearing regularly, the US came out on top for online swearing, followed by the UK. And I say, fuck that. America. America is swearing more than us, those God-fearing, puritanical, coward fucks. Look, I understand that they're going through some shit right now, but are we gonna stand for this? are we going to stand for this bullshit? I mean, we've fallen behind the UK. The UK couldn't even handle one tourism slogan.
So where the bloody hell are you?
That! They couldn't even handle that, the cowards.
So where are you?
So this is a call for solidarity from Australians all over this wide country. Go online and call someone a cunt. Even better, if you do it in a friendly Australian way, then we can really bump up our numbers while keeping that friendly reputation that we have. Jump in the comments of this very video and just drop your favourite swear word, okay? We need this. We need to lift our numbers. We need your help. And then we can get both of those things back on track. Our swearing and our international friendly reputation. So cunts, do us a favour. Jump up and do your patriotic duty. You all jump on board when a sports team gets into the fucking finals. Well, this is the fucking finals of swearing. We're at the top of the ladder, and Team fucking Australia can't do it unless you step up and shake off those sensibilities and let your friends know that they're a sick cunt. Your country needs you. And moving on to our last story, I know that that's early days for that, but it's a big one. We're moving on to Deja News. That's right, former reality TV show host and toddler having a tantrum because nobody liked the drawing that he drew. Donald Trump has been nominated for, of all things, the Nobel Peace Prize. He's gonna fucking love that. The nomination came from Pakistan, who recommended Trump for, get this, his work in helping to resolve the recent conflict between India and Pakistan. I wasn't aware that they had stopped fighting. I'm pretty sure that they still go very hard, and we are all quite concerned. But hey, go off, King. You claim what you gotta claim. But then, a mere day after Trump got nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, he fulfilled his Nobel Peace Prize obligations by immediately bombing the shit out of another nation. Like his presidential peace prize recipient predecessor, Barack Obama. Don't ever go out and say that these two have nothing in common. And it makes sense, really. Trump always wanted to be more like Obama. He only really ran for president so hard because Obama made fun of him 400 years ago in 2015 after he first announced that he was going to run for president. As Trump has bombed three Iranian nuclear enrichment sites, fulfilling his Nobel Peace Prize nomination obligations. I mean, rightly so, right? Rightly so, because if all reports are to be believed, Iran was only
weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
Oh, I'm sorry. can we just zoom out a little on that image? I don't think we caught the date on that.
Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
Oh, no. This is embarrassing. Sorry, that was back in 2015. This is very embarrassing. Have we got something a little more contemporary?
They hope we'll reach the eastern seaboard of the United States within 15 years.
Oh, shit. We've done it again. Sorry, that clip was from 2002. More contemporary. Who's in charge of the clips over here? Something more contemporary, please. Thank you. Here we go.
Time is running out.
Oh, guys. Look, it clearly says, that one was from 1996. It's clearly there on the image. I mean, I think I know what's happening here. This is like a reverse Groundhog Day scenario where Netanyahu is Bill Murray, who doesn't know that he's in a loop, but the rest of us are all heavily aware that we're in a loop, and we're constantly trying to escape by doing things like committing suicide or doing good deeds, and we've all slowly fallen in love with Andy McDowell. Though I will say, Pakistan has since condemned Trump for his involvement in the bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities. Yes, that Pakistan, despite putting their full-throated faith into loudly trumpeting their support for the madman based on one idea, he then immediately betrayed them and everything that they supported him for, which, in many ways, makes them just like the 78 million Americans who voted for Trump.
Well, I got elected on the exact same campaign promises that President Trump got elected on. We promised no more foreign wars, no more regime change. We promised an America First agenda where we're solving Americans' problems.
Leaving anti-war progressives surprised and annoyed to find themselves in agreement with Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is a particularly big deal given her history of, we'll call them, big swing choices, like admitting that not only did she not read Donald Trump's tax and spending bill before voting for it, but she wouldn't have voted for, but she would have voted against it had she actually read it thoroughly. Voted to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, claimed the US government can control the weather, celebrated the death of the Pope by saying that with the Pope dead, evil is being defeated by the hand of God, said calling her a white supremacist was the same as calling a person of color the N-word, while calling Nancy Pelosi a Nazi, confused gazpacho with Gestapo, and has repeatedly called Democrats pedophiles. I was gonna add some fun made-up ones in there where to try and trick you, but she's covered the full entire range of political gaffes, and it's just impossible to make something up that she almost hasn't already said. Which is particularly annoying, because I agree that neocon warmongers beat their drums of war and act like Billy Badass is going to war in countries most Americans have never seen and can't find on a map, but never find the courage to go to war against the actual terrorists, kill Americans, invade our land, and make billions by doing it day after day and year after year. But I guess the problem is, I think that the terrorists invading America are more the tech and business CEOs who hold their staff hostage with threats of lack of health insurance and poverty if they don't accept their terrible working conditions, whereas she thinks that they're immigrants. But we all have differing opinions, you know what I mean? So back to the neocon warmongers bombing countries most Americans can't point to on a map. How did they do it? How have they managed to bomb Iran? Well, last we heard,
something I would say over the next 2 or 3 weeks that will be phenomenal in terms of tax.
I will make that decision, I would say, over the next 2 weeks, probably right after the G20.
So after Trump left the G7 summit early, Keir Starmer said Trump gave no sign that the US would get involved in the current Israel-Iran conflict, aside, of course, from being their number one supplier of weapons that Israel uses to terrorize their neighbor countries. But that's just business, you know, that's not like getting involved. That's just making a little money on the side. Bunnings doesn't monitor what everyone they sell a hammer to does with that hammer. They might use it to build a chestnut wood 6-shelf spice rack with ample storage space for those bulk buy packets of spice. Or they might use it to murder their friends, family, and neighbors who happen to come home just as they were dragging their bodies out to a car and then buried them in the desert. What you do with the tools that we sell you is up to you, really. That's just business. Trump also said his premature G7 departure had nothing to do with an Israel-Iran ceasefire, which, to be fair, after 75 years of allowing Israel to terrorize Palestine and its fellow neighbor countries unimpeded, why should they start now? You know, why would this be the very first time that they interceded and tried to enforce a ceasefire? Don't take it from me. Listen to the man himself.
You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do.
Which again puts us in the position of agreeing with an unstable political madman. Though, I guess it's easy to know what Trump will do. It's whatever benefits him the most. Be it scam people who put him in office with various grifts or scams, or bomb a sovereign nation for political gain. You see the pattern here? So, how do they pull off this bombing? Secretary Hegseth explained.
It took a great deal of precision. It involved misdirection.
Oh, so apparently they dropped a magician into Iran who used illusion and misdirection. So this was some sort of close-up bombing where he just made the nuclear facilities disappear. But hey, maybe Trump is a magician after all. And he and Netanyahu should like start up a residency in Vegas. Because as well as making the nuclear facilities disappear, a few other things seem to have disappeared. That would be news coverage of the people of Gaza dying, and and news coverage of the ICE rages, of course, and don't forget news coverage of the anti-ICE protests. All of that just has disappeared. Amazing. As America's war on America proves increasingly unpopular, Trump has started to pivot to the previously popular American pastime of starting a war in the Middle East to get some positive PR. Yes, in what could be called the worst reboot since Ghost in the Shell cast Scarlett Johansson as a Japanese woman, or since, frankly, all of Disney's live-action films, or since Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Take your pick. We now get to watch as an increasingly maligned US president struggling with economic issues attempts to stoke patriotism by entering a Middle Eastern country under the guise of WMDs. You remember WMDs? Weapons of mass distraction. After dropping the bombs, Trump said, "Now was a time for peace." Ah yes, peace. We all know peace, the famous state of existence where people secretly enter each other's countries and proceed to drop bombs on them. Peace. I believe that's how Merriam-Webster defines peace. But my guy, this is explicitly an act of war. You have to understand that, right?
No, we're not at war with Iran, John. We're at war with Iran's nuclear program.
Sorry, Vice President of Couch Sales, J.D. Vance. I didn't realize that a non-wartime action required wartime manipulative language and semantic deflection. Is this the misdirection that Pete Hegseth was talking about earlier? Maybe you should join the traveling circus of magicians in the Vegas residency. On the plus side, cartographers across the world are preparing for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to draw up a new map in the Middle East. They haven't been able to do actions like that for about 70 years. This does leave Trump with a bit of a complicated spot. If the destruction of the Iranian nuclear sites is accurate and as successful as Trump himself claims, this really leaves Israel and the US in a bit of a spot because they'll need to scramble to find new excuses to continue bombing Iran. And I think we have all learned from this repetition of history that they aren't exactly good at coming up with new ideas. This is all such a familiar repeating of history that I'm half expecting Trump to announce that he's going to start a search for bin Laden in Afghanistan.
So breaking news, we are just getting some new reporting on Israel's assessment of the strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities.
Whoa, what's this, guys? What's this breaking news? Breaking, very exciting to have some breaking news in the middle of this pre-recorded podcast. Well, it must be about how devastating the attack on Iran was. Let's check out the news.
This is crucial because the context here is, you know, CNN learning or Natasha Bertrand reporting on that early U.S. intelligence assessment, which found that the U.S. military strikes did not destroy Iran's nuclear program and likely only set it back for months.
I was, you know, that's good. Like, that's very good. Then we won't have to worry about making any new excuses. And, crucially, we can go back in at any time that we want and continue bombing the shit out of Iran if we feel that we need to flap our dick around in the desert sun for some sort of dick measuring competition.
They hit the target perfectly, wiped it out. And the press is very disrespectful. I saw CNN fake news going, well, maybe it wasn't a perfect hit, it was perfect. They said, maybe it did destroy it. We agree, it did destroy it, but maybe it could have destroyed it more. No, it couldn't have destroyed it more. Everyone hit, and it's very disrespectful to those great geniuses and patriots that flew those planes through tremendous dangers.
Trump, champ. Take the win. Do you understand? What are you doing? what the press is giving you exactly what you need: plausible deniability and the excuse to blow some more stuff up should the occasion arise. Take the win, champ. This is exactly what you need right now. I mean, far be it from me to tell you to stop getting in your own way, but this seems like an easy one. Everything about this is just making him angry. The ceasefire that he broke was immediately broken, which made him angry.
Basically, have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
And now it's hard to turn away from a sitting president violating his own ceasefire negotiation by dropping an atomic F-bomb on the White House lawn. But I think there's something the press has been overlooking a little bit in their flurry to show Trump swearing. A statement made by Trump in the moment of anger that countries the world over have been a little bit too afraid to admit. See if you can hear it.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to peace?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too. Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear it? Trump low-key condemned Israel. He acknowledged they struck first, and that they violated the ceasefire, and that they are acting like a spoiled younger child who gets doted on by their foster parents, and they've never been told off before. And look, there's a couple of problems now, because Trump never wanted to be the kind of parent who had to deal with the consequences of his children's actions. He has always handed them off to babysitters or their mother to take care of them. Now Ivanka is dropping bombs on Eric immediately after they told him that they won't get any ice cream if they can't calm down and behave. Immediately after he told them that they won't be getting any ice cream if they can't calm down and behave. On top of that, say what you want about the man, and I do advise that you do. Trump never wanted to go to war, really. Not a real war, anyway. He wanted to be like a culture wartime president, because it's much easier to be a culture wartime president. You don't need to face bone spurs to get out of the culture wars, right? You can just fight them from behind a desk. It's great. But now, some Trump supporters are wavering in their support after this, shall we call it, big political swing, as they don't see how bombing another nation fits in with Trump's America First agenda. Forgetting that, in Trump's estimation, Trump is America. So peace in the Middle East and maybe winning a Nobel Peace Prize, that is putting America first, because it is putting Trump first. But if these supporters of Trump can find the moral courage to stand up to this horrible action and speak out, surely world leaders can also stand up to him. Do we have a clip?
The world has long agreed that Iran cannot be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. And we support action to prevent that, and that is what this is.
Now, Albert, what have you done? Boy, you've just... It's extremely disappointing.
Well, we aren't a central player in this conflict. That's just a fact. This was a unilateral action by the United States. This was unilateral action taken by the United States. This was unilateral action taken by the United States. This was unilateral action taken by the United States. This was unilateral action taken by the United States. Thanks very much.
I mean, you can claim that we weren't involved all you like, but Penny Wong refuses to say whether Pine Gap was used in the bombing when it is specifically there because it controls United States spy satellites as they pass over one third of the globe, including China, North Korea, and the Asian parts of Russia and the Middle East. I mean, realistically, there is no way that we weren't involved in some capacity. So you've just sort of got to admit it, champ. Now, despite Albanese's insistence that no Australian resources or support were contributed towards the bombings, by that same token, Australia has also maintained that we don't sell weapons to Israel, when in fact, oh, we do. At least we export a remote weapon system developed by a Canberra-based defence company to Israel, and Australian components are sent to Israel via third country channels, specifically the US, before being exported as a weapons system to Israel, therefore bypassing Australian export controls and in violation of Australia's international legal obligations. semantics.
We don't want escalation and a full-scale war. We continue to call for dialogue and for diplomacy. As I've said for many days now, we are deeply concerned about any escalation in the region, and we want to see diplomacy, dialogue and de-escalation.
I mean, at this point, Australia asking for de-escalation is kind of rich. Currently, Iran, you should know, does not have a nuclear program. They suspended it in 2003 and are part of the NPT, the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty, which says no new countries can have nukes, and the five nuclear-armed countries that are part of the treaty, the US, UK, Russia, France, and China, must eventually get rid of them. Which you won't be surprised to learn that not a single one of them is doing. But hey, it's not like anyone would try to start a war with any of them. After all, they all have nukes. So, under the treaty, all these countries can pursue peaceful uses of the atom, such as nuclear energy, which Iran has been insisting it is trying to develop this whole time. Now, it might be worth noting there are actually 9 countries that have nukes, and only 5 of them are part of the Proliferation Treaty. Do you have any guesses as to who the remaining 4 are? Anybody? That's right, it's North Korea, India, Pakistan, and Israel. What we call the axis of, ugh, not these fuckers again. Then there is the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, who are the organization in charge of monitoring and verifying that nuclear energy is used in a peaceful way and also inhibits its use for war. What you need to know is that the amount of the IAEA's resources that go into making sure Iran isn't using nuclear enrichment for weapons is more than any other signatory. Around 70% of their entire 2024 budget was used to check up on Iran. Seems like Iran is the problem child of the NPT agreement, but hey, they've spent a lot of money on babysitters making sure that they don't fuck around. So I guess it's fair to say that we have a pretty damn good idea that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons. But go off, King. Tell the world how we need to de-escalate. When they do come out and say that, remember, we are helping supply and design weapons that are going to the main antagonist in this conflict. We are arming Bond villains and then sending James Bond to take care of them and insisting that we can't talk about whether or not we are involved. And that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for coming out and sticking around. And I hope you've enjoyed it. If you do make sure to tell a friend. Share it around, whatever you can on social, whatever social media you found this on, do share it around. If you've enjoyed this and you know someone who you think would enjoy this type of thing, do that. If you want more of this type of thing, do come out to see my live shows. Remember, I'll be in Darwin and Edinburgh with my storytelling and stand-up shows, I Got Picked by a Mic Once, and Wage Against the Machine. So if you know anyone who lives in those areas, do feel free to send them my way. I would appreciate that very much. Supporting my live shows is the best way to make sure that I have the time to do more of this. But otherwise, if you want more of this, do sign up to the Patreon. We have a bonus story for you today. It's a nice and fun one. I thought we'd do something nice and light for the Patreon story. So go check that out. Thank you so much. Goodbye.